I'm going to be in Joshua 3 for a few moments, and well, that's a lie. It's going to be more than a few moments, so I'm just going to go ahead and confess that. But I want to share with you what God is going to be has been doing in our state convention, and from Joshua chapter 3. And I'm just thankful for what He is doing in our midst, and I want to weave this together if I can. One of the greatest joys I have is traveling our state and visiting with our pastors and preaching in our churches. I've logged almost 18,000 miles this year on my truck, driving the state, preaching in our churches. I've been almost every corner of the state, preaching in our largest churches, preaching in our smallest churches, lost cell phone reception and driving to many of our churches. And I just love God's activity here in Ohio. Are you thankful to be here and be an I was going to say an Ohio State Buckeye, but you're not. But are you just thankful to be an Ohio Baptist? God is at work here. Amen. We can thank the Lord for being an Ohio Baptist. I'm already going, guys. I'm already going. So one of the things as I travel, sometimes pastors will tell me a lot. Sometimes I'll hear, well, what is happening in our convention? Would you see what's happening with our economy? Do you know what's going on with our geopolitical issues across the world? What is going on? And sometimes as I travel and meet with pastors, it'll feel like there's angst, there's anxiety, there's sometimes fear and trepidation on our hearts. And we just need to remember that God is always on His throne. He is never up for a re-election. He's always in charge. And we can go to sleep at night knowing that God is awake and in charge, and we can get some sovereign sleep at night. Amen? We don't need to be fearful. We don't need to be afraid. We need to be confident in the Lord Jesus and what He is doing. It reminds me of a pastor who was preaching revival in his church, and people were getting saved, and the deacons were there, and people were serving, and it was an exciting day in the church. And all of a sudden, when the midst of this revival had taken place in this church, the devil walked in. And the devil walked in, and all of a sudden, people began to scatter. People began to leave out the back door and out the side door. And then as they were coming, he came in, they began to leave and move, and all of a sudden, that revival stopped, and then the deacons, they left, and they ran out of the church. And then the pastor, he stopped preaching, and he ran out of the church. Everybody left and everybody scattered, but this one old boy on the front row. And the devil walked up to him and he said, I don't understand it. He said, the people left, the deacons left, the pastor even left, but you're the only one that stayed. Aren't you afraid of me? Don't you fear who I am? And that old boy looked up at the devil. He said, why should I be afraid of you? I've been married to your sister for the past 20 years. Now, I don't speak from personal testimony this morning because my wife's in the room, all right? Just clarify that. But, you know, we get so sometimes fearful and anxious. But we need to know that God is in charge and God is at work in our midst with these missional engagements, with this activity that He is doing. In Joshua chapter 3, Israel had to face Jordan. And I'm titling this brief message, Facing Jordan. You and I have to understand that there are going to be some proverbial moments that we have to cross over to the other side that God has before us. We are thanking God for 2023, but we are trusting God for 2024. Amen? We're grateful for God's activity here in our state, but in Joshua chapter 3, we understand and we know that Moses has gone to heaven. He will say, well, Moses just died of old age. That's not true. Read the scriptures. The Bible says that his eye was not dim, nor was his strength abated. Moses walked up to Mount Nebo, and he walked to his own funeral. You can disobey God to a certain point where he just says, come on home. Moses walked to his own funeral, and God had a new man. He had a new generation. He called Joshua up, and Joshua now is bringing hundreds of thousands, some commentators say close to 1 million Israelites up to the banks of the Jordan. And they're there for 3 days. Can you imagine the grumbling from those people? You think you got church issues. Imagine almost 1 million people grumbling. Well, I tell you what, we love Moses. Moses never did this to us. And then you read the previous few books, and all they did is, Moses, we love him, we don't. We love him, we don't. We love him, we don't. I know they're Israelites, but there had to have been some Baptists sprinkled in that mix somewhere. And here they are in chapter 3. They arrive in verse 1. Next morning, Joshua and the Israelites left the acacia grove and arrived to the banks where they camped before crossing. And 3 days later, the Israelite officers went through the camp and they gave these instructions to the people. So here they are. They're walking up to the Jordan. And on the other side, remember in chapter 2, they just got the report from the spies. We can take this land. The greatest is before us. But he's there. And if you read the narrative of the story in chapter 3, you're going to see and know that it's a season of the harvest where the banks are flooded and the river is high and it seems impossible to cross. You're going to have some seemingly impossible rivers to cross in your church. You're going to have some impossible rivers to cross in your ministry. There's going to be some impossible rivers maybe to cross in your life and in your marriage and in your ministry and relationships. We're all going to face Jordan. And how do we face Jordan as a convention? How do we face Jordan as a church? Well, number one, we need to be focused. We need to be focused. In verse 3, Joshua tells him, he says, I'm going to give you these instructions, and when you see the Levitical priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, that's when you move. We want you to focus. Joshua says, focus on the presence and the power of Almighty God. Israel wanted a map. And God said, I'm going to give you something greater than a map. I'm going to give you myself. I'm going to give you my presence. Adrian Rogers said, the will of God is not a roadmap. It's a relationship. We need to understand that we are no greater and effective in our ministry than we are in private, in our prayer time, and in walking with the Lord. We can't just put on a show every Sunday. We can't just manipulate a message. We have to meet with God. God has to meet with us. And here he says we need to remain focused. And as you face your Jordan in your association, you AMSs in the crowd, you're going to face it as an AMS if you not already have. All the pastors in the room, you're going to face Jordan. All the catalysts, all the leaders, all the pastors' wives, you're going to face Jordan in your ministry, in your marriage, and in your life. And when you do, what do? You remain focused on the mission. See, our mission here in the State Convention is the Great Commission. That is our mission, is the Great Commission. We're not just called to pass out things and do stuff and post pictures. We're here to carry out the Great Commission of the Lord Jesus Christ, to make sure that men and women and boys and girls come to faith and they hear the gospel. Somebody said the gospel's only good news if it gets there in time. 9 out of 10 Ohioans still don't know Jesus Christ as their Savior. You pass churches on the road, but we still have a state that's lost without the Lord Jesus. We have a mission. Our mission is the Great Commission. We have evangelism grants that are available to you as a church. Some of y'all just woke up. Welcome to the annual meeting, right? We have evangelism money. We have free dollars for you. If you are an active cooperating church, you're giving to the cooperative program, you're engaging, you're active, we have an opportunity to give money to you. Not just from our CP budget and our partnership with the North American Mission Board. They do this with every state. There's dollars that we want to give to you to help you go out to your communities and to reach those who don't know Jesus yet. As a pastor, remember that you have a community. God's not just called you to your church, he's called you to your city. You have a community of people around you who are still far from God and need to know the Lord Jesus as their Savior. As a state convention, we want to help you do that. We want to usher in and help give you evangelism dollars as you do two things. You must train the church in gospel sharing, or you must present the gospel to the community. All right, and we get some strange requests from doing certain things. I'm not going to repeat those from the stage, but just make sure that if you are doing something that involves the gospel, right, you're training your church to share the gospel, or you are presenting the gospel to your community, we want to help. Contact us at the office. We have a form you can fill out, and if it's approved, we'll get you dollars as fast as we can to help you with what you are doing. I'm thankful last year that our ACP report showed 2,300 baptisms in the State Convention of Baptists in Ohio. That's a 32% increase over the previous year and a 39% increase over the previous 2 years. Can we thank the Lord for what he is doing in our midst? We want to help you take the gospel across the street and around the world. We want to incentivize. We want to encourage you to be on mission, to not just show up and just preach sermons and have church, but to be on mission and to take the gospel across the street and around the world. Number two, be flexible. In verse 4 of Joshua chapter 3, Joshua says, listen, y'all want you to look at the covenant, and when it moves, you move. And he says in verse 4, since you've never traveled this way before, they will guide you. I believe sometimes in our churches, God wants to take us down a new path. He tells us here in chapter 3, verse 4, there's a new path. There's a new way. There's a new journey that God could be taking you. Maybe in 2024, God could be taking your church down a new road, down a new path. Maybe in our state convention, maybe in our Southern Baptist convention, God wants to weave us down a new path and a new way. Not a way that we can manipulate, not a way that we can manifold something, but we have to see the manifest presence of Almighty God. I want to see revival in our land. I want to see an awakening in our land. I don't want to just read about it in a book. I want to experience it. I want to see it. Does anybody here today want to see an awakening? Does anybody here today want to see a revival in our state and in our nation and around the world? We're going to have to stay focused and we're going to have to stay flexible. That means when God says do something, what do? You do it. You don't get on Facebook and ask everybody else what you're supposed to do. We got to get off Facebook and spend more time in God's book. Enough of letting everybody else manipulate and dictate what we do. We need to spend time with Almighty God in His Word and in His prayer. And we need to have godly men and godly women around us that we surround ourselves with that hold us accountable and can sharpen us and we can disciple one another. We need to hear from God right now. We don't just need to hear from social media and blogs. We need to hear from Almighty God. And Joshua tells us here that we need to stay focused and we need to stay flexible. We need to hear from heaven. That's my prayer for our state. God may want to take our church, our convention, down a new path. Nehemiah chapter 2, we love that chapter. We love the rebuilding of the wall. But before there's a rebuilding of the wall, there's weeping, there's repenting, there's praying, and there's fasting in chapter 1. You don't get Nehemiah 2 and the rest of the journey if you don't have Nehemiah chapter 1. Intimacy with God always trumps activity for God. It always begins, Pastor, on your knees. It always begins in the book. It always begins in the prayer closet. It always begins when it's you and the Lord and nobody else around, and you're talking to Him, and then He's talking back to you, and you're listening to His voice. You and I need to stay focused on the Great Commission. You and I need to be flexible, and we need to hear from heaven. I thank the Lord for Steve Hopkins. Steve Hopkins has been helping us travel the state. I told him the other day, if I see the DR shower trailer behind you, we're going to have a conversation. He's been traveling the state all month long in October, helping us with prayer. The Bill Eliff Prayer Tour went through 5 different associations and churches over the month of October. We had the 6-4 fellowship meeting back in the spring at Violet Baptist Church. Over 100 pastors came from around the state for 2 days, unscripted, awkward moments at times, right? What is God going to do just for scripture-led and scripture-fed worship and prayer? And many of our pastors left that meeting in the spring and went back to their churches the next Sunday and had moments of prayer, not just prayer to just move the music people on and off the stage. You know what I mean? Like just actual just praying for a God to move in their midst. And they saw it. You and I need to hear from the Lord. I'm excited to share with you that we're going to have a new opportunity at the beginning of the year, 21 days of prayer. Dr. Dave Early, the First Baptist Church of Grove City, we've partnered with Dave, and there are churches literally all across our state, all across our country, all around the world that are partnering up to begin 2024 hearing and asking God what He wants from us. God, speak to us. We want our lives, we want our churches to be in tune with yours. You can go to 21daysprayer.org and you can learn more about that. So you and I need to also, number 3, be faithful. He says in verse 5 of chapter 3, Joshua told the people, purify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do a great work and great wonder among you. They're there at the banks of the Jordan. They're wondering, how are we going to cross? Joshua says, stay focused on the mission. Stay faithful and look to the Lord. And then purify yourself. Stay faithful to God. For tomorrow he's going to do great works among you. God has done many great works among us in 2023. I'm going to bring up four men one by one, and they're going to share with you for a few moments how God has been active and how God has been working in our state convention. The first gentleman I want to bring up is Ryan Jones, who is the director of Sin Network Ohio. God has been doing a great work planting new churches, replanting churches in our state convention. And so, Ryan, I'm going to step to the side and let you take this mic and just take a few moments and just share with us God's activity here in our state.
Well, good morning. Like Jeremy said, my name is Ryan Jones. I'm the executive director, or not executive director, you're the executive director. I'm just the director, the plane director. No, no. I'd rather play the banjo with Chosen Road. I am the director of the Sin Network here in Ohio. So thank you to Jeremy, first of all, for allowing me to speak and kind of share what God's been doing across our state in terms of church planting this year. But I will admit, I asked Jeremy, I would be remiss if I didn't let you guys know that I didn't grow up in church. I started going to church at 15. With my uncle's invitation, turned 16, I started driving myself without my family, and I came to Christ through the ministries of SCBO, through the collaborative youth ministries back in 93. And so if you've got a kid in your church that's maybe 15 driving himself, and if you ask him what version of the Bible he has, and he says holy because that's what it says on the cover, keep going with that kid, because it could be 30 years. But he might be on the stage in 30 years, so it's a pretty cool story, full circle. So thank you to SCBO for your part in that. As far as Sin Network's concerned, our vision is to plant churches everywhere for everyone. Our goal is to move the needle by 1% of lostness across our state and across our country. The way that that's being done throughout Ohio is conversations with guys that planted last year, 2 years ago that I had last week, telling me, hey, we've got a guy that wants to go out in 2 years. We need to get ready. Having those conversations multiple times a week with our planters, with our pastors across the state, super encouraged by that. Over the last 6 years, in order to move that dial by 1%, Ohio has been right on the money with our average number of church plants per year. I'm going to put a big asterisk on what I'm about to say. If you take the southern states out of it, no offense to Florida, you take our southern states out of it, Ohio is second in the country of all conventions in the number of churches we're planting every year, except for the South. Second to California. We've even got a graphic that we came up with to show where the churches are located that we planted this year. Among those plants, we had a couple initiatives that we emphasized with our team. One, we wanted to focus on replanting churches. One success story out of that, some of you in the room are replanters. I could tell your story. It'd be equally as glorifying to the Lord. First Baptist Waynesville, we replanted that with Todd Cyphers about 14 months ago. And 5 years before Todd coming to Waynesville, they baptized one person in 5 years. Since Todd's arrival and assessment and approval with the Sin Network, they've baptized 14 people in 14 months. So one in every 5 years. We can clap for that. So one every month. Secondly, the number of African-American church plants that we have in churches across the state is much lower than the African-American population across Ohio. Therefore, we need to focus more on African-American planting across our state for the years to come. As of right now, with where the population stands percentage-wise in our state, Sin Network needs to plant 4 African-American churches a year to be on pace with our current population. I'm proud to let you know that we did that this year. We hit 4 African-American plants across our country, or across our state, and we can clap for that if you would like to. Another initiative that we had was ethnic planting. If you don't know my story, I was out in Nevada. I was in Las Vegas for 7 years before I transferred back home to be with my people here in Ohio. And I'm floored at the ethnic diversity of our planters year after year after year. Guys, we're planting Nepali church after Nepali church after Nepali church all across our state. Congolese planters. We've got a Korean guy that we're talking to right now. We've got a guy that's Filipino that we're talking. We don't have a Filipino planter in our state right now. My challenge to our ethnic planters is, what does it look like for you to reach your people in Ohio? And then the second part of that is, after we do that, what does it look like to reach your nation from Ohio? Because the nations are here. We're planting, or we're training Arabic-speaking pastors through Pastor Amr in Cincinnati, Ohio, that are planting in Cincinnati and in Cleveland and in Michigan and in Arizona and California. The nation is being impacted by the ministry of Sin Network through its partnership with the State Convention of Baptists in Ohio, all around the country, because of what's happening in Ohio. We have a lost people group from the IMB called the Ahiska Turks, just north of Dayton. We've got two church planters in the past year that said, hey, we're gonna get those people. They're gonna know the gospel. And one of our biggest highlights of the year is a video that we're gonna show from Cove City Church, which is one of our church plants up in Cleveland. So a few months ago, I got an email, and you know, sometimes you get the email if you're in ministry or pastor, and you get the email, and you're like, this is either crazy or this is amazing, and I'm not sure which one it is yet. I kind of thought it was crazy, if I'm being honest. Josh said, hey, the building next door has come up for sale, and it was a strip club, and it's next to our church. We're praying to raise funds to buy that building. I thought, he has lost his mind. Yet again, God has proven me wrong. And so here is the video of the sign for what was called the Velvet Rope, which was the strip club in Cleveland. The sign coming down and the church, Coast City Church, the people of the church, hoisting their sign in its place. So we can cue that video.
I'm not as strong as I look.
Here's a direct quote from Josh Miller, the pastor. He said, we want to be light in a dark space, a space that was used for darkness for way too long. We want to be a church that spreads light and life wherever we go. We believe that this building will be used for people to come and be introduced to Jesus, maybe for the very first time. The Sin Network team is very thankful. We are honored. We are indebted for your partnership here in Ohio to help us plant churches everywhere for everyone. Trying to push that needle just 1%. If your church isn't involved in planting churches, talk to us at the booth. But all of us in the room would agree that we can join forces and we can pray for more videos just like that one, all across our state. The places that are known to spread darkness, that to the glory of God we would see them spread light and spread the name of Jesus. Thank you.
I think we have one of the best Sin Network teams in the entire Southern Baptist Convention. And I'm grateful for Ryan leading that and the team that God has placed here. And what a testimony that is. I want to invite Mark Jones up, wherever Mark is, to come talk about Revitalize Ohio. And if you've ever gotten an email from Mark, once you get one, they keep on coming, right? And they're all color-coded like a rainbow. So why don't you come up and tell us what God is doing through Revitalize Ohio and your ministry?
Well, I have this all written out, but I think I'm going to change it just a little bit because Ryan and I are not related. We have the same father, different mothers. But I would love to see more strip clubs close than churches. I don't know if you've driven around neighborhoods, but I was a planter twice over, and I gained an appreciation for the established church about 10 years ago. Listening to senior saints talk about how it used to be, in the 80s. Oh, I remember when we had this. I remember when we had that. And then just listening to their story. So I just want to give you some numbers real quick, and I'm going to just cover what I want to talk to you about today. Did you realize that 67% of our churches here in Ohio have been declining by greater than 10% over the past 5 years? Now, that includes COVID, but take away COVID, it's still at 67%. We have 71 churches that are less than 100 people, and that's not a bad thing. The normative size is about 50 to 55 people. So if you're here and you have a church that's around 50, 55, you're the normative size church. But what I found is I'm walking around or driving around Ohio, and I've driven quite a bit around Ohio, is the definition of what is revitalization. So I want to start there. Our definition in Ohio is church revitalization is the process of leading a church that is plateaued or declining back to a healthy state. It's the restoring of a church's purpose of glorifying God and mission to reach the lost in their community and beyond. Only the Holy Spirit can revitalize. Look, you can come to talk to me. You can talk to one of our coaches. We're not going to be able to revitalize you. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. However, he's given us some tools, and we can help in that process. Another way of looking at it is looking at pastoral health and church health. I believe that a healthy pastor leads to a healthy church. A healthy church leads to a healthy association. A healthy association leads to a healthy region. A healthy region leads to a healthy convention. It's all for God's glory. Behind me is a map. Should be a map in a second. These are the areas that we've reached. And so I have an acronym called Ear Farmer. And this is how the process works. You're going to talk to me on the phone, and it's about an hour-long conversation. It's 45 minutes of you talking and 15 minutes of me asking some questions to clarify some things. So we're having an encouraging conversation. After that, I'm going to ask you to assess yourself and to assess your congregation. And if you take me up on that, we'll do the assessment. It's just going to be given to you, and then we'll go through what that assessment reveals. And then we have what's called a revitalization recommendation. And there are a lot of things in that revitalization recommendation that we can give you. But what I've been able to do over the past 10 months is encourage and engage over 40 pastors conversations this way. Over 3/4 of our associations have been impacted by this. I've been able to help some pastors go on retreats with their wives to get them healthier so they can be a healthier pastor for their churches. We've been able to assist in coaching and counseling. And by the way, it's not just me. Last night I met with a group of individuals that are going to be helping with revitalization. So if you're in the room, would you stand up and let people know that you are here and you're here to help as well? So Adam, stand up. Others of you that have been at the meal, that were at the meal last night, if you're here, please stand up. So there's a couple here. And so the two areas that I've not reached yet is, thank you. The two areas we were not reaching yet and we're working on this year is Northwest and Southeast Ohio. Because it's important for these guys to be in the region so that when I talk to a pastor, I can send a pastor to them and they can come right alongside of them and work with them. Back in August, by the way, I want to just share with you that the passion that Dr. Westbrook and Dr. Umphrey had for revitalization is the driving force. I've heard before that all the state cares about is planting, and that's just not true. We need plants, love plants, but there's a lot of churches hurting. I've talked to some of you pastors, and some of you have been in tears on the phone because someone actually cared. Not me. It's the state convention. So I just want to share a couple more things. In August, we had the Loving and Leading conference. We had over 75 pastors and leaders there. Just 3 weeks ago, the Steel Valley Association, under the phenomenal direction of Gary Frost, decided to enter into a revitalization relationship themselves. And so they'll be going through an assessment process as well. The Summit Association is also going through a revitalization process. Last night, I had the dinner with those individuals. They're not just coaches, but they're also going to be fostering churches. A fostering church comes alongside of a struggling church and walks with them in the process. So I want to let you know, some churches will close this year. Some churches may merge this year. Some churches may even replant. There's 3 replants in the works right now that aren't on this list in your book. But so many more, I hope, will choose to refocus on the kingdom of God and make a difference in their community, in the state, and in the kingdom. So with that, I just want to leave you in this, and I cover your prayers continually. I want to thank you for the revitalization that is going on, Dr. Westbrook. I want to thank the your giving to the cooperative program and your giving to the Ray Roberts offering, because without those things, we aren't able to do the things that we can do. And for more on what is revitalization, you can read my report or my article on page 9 of the Book of Reports. Thank you.
I'm grateful for what God is doing through planting churches, replanting churches, and revitalizing churches. So thank you, Mark Jones and Ryan Jones, for sharing that. Well, now that we've heard from the Jonas Brothers, we're going to continue moving forward on. And I'm going to ask Keith Hurt to come up and share about Super Summer and what God is doing through the Next Generation Ministry.
Hello there. It's exciting to have everyone here in Central Ohio. I'm a Columbus boy, grew up as a Buckeyes fan and also a fan of the Reds and the Bengals. But growing up here in Columbus, we would go to the Columbus Clippers games. That was something we did forever. And the Clippers were a farm team for the Yankees and then now for the Cleveland Guardians. And I remember thinking, what would happen if the management of the Guardians decided, all the action is happening in the major league level. That's where the talent is. That's where the money is coming in. And so we're just going to focus our efforts there and shut down these farm teams. Eventually, those who are doing the work at the highest level, when they're not able to do it, there wouldn't be anyone else to step in. And while that doesn't make sense for baseball, it doesn't make sense for churches. And I think we all know of churches who have closed their doors because those who were doing it are no longer able to do it and they have not invested in the next generation. I came to Christ as a teenager, a very broken and lost and confused teenager who had three adult men who knew Jesus. They invested in me. They came around alongside of me, and we believe God's got a plan for your life, and he's going to use you. And the one thing those three guys had in common was a relationship with Christ. That caused me to want to look into that, and that kicked off a journey that led with me accepting Christ, but it also helped me to understand the value of when godly adults come alongside of teenagers and help them discover their gifting and help them polish their gifts and their passions to make an impact for the kingdom. I've been working with students for 28 years now, and God has given me a lifelong passion for youth ministry. But in the last 10 to 12 years, that passion has also expanded to pastors and to youth leaders. How can we help equip those who are equipping our students to take our church into the next generation? And so we've been able to see networks happening. We've got a network of youth leaders that gets together here once a month in Central Ohio. And the vision is that we would see youth leader networks happen across the state of Ohio. There's also several events that are coming up. We have started a Facebook group called the SCBO Next Gen Network. And right now there's 6 upcoming events that are listed on that network. And we would love to get your church plugged in so you can be aware of things that are happening across the state. Different trainings and lunch and learns and opportunities to encourage each other. We are better together. But of all the events that have happened, I would say Super Summer it's a special event. As I mentioned, I've been working with youth a long time, and I've never seen anything better than Super Summer. If there's a better program to develop student leaders, I'm not aware of it. I started at our church 17 years ago. They say, hey, welcome in. You're going to be spending your entire week at Cedarville University, a program called Super Summer. I had no idea what it was. But when I got out of that program, I reached out to the leaders of the previous denomination that I came from. I said, you guys have got to come over to the Southern Baptist, and you got to steal this notebook of Super Summer, because most denominations are in decline, but the Southern Baptists are actually doing something about it. They're intentionally raising up next generation leaders. So Super Summer brings together some of the best pastors and youth pastors from the state. They have students that Super Summer is not everybody come. Students have to qualify, be recognized as leading and having the potential to lead in their church. There's expectations and requirements and things that they have to do in order to get there. But once they're there, those students who are going into eighth grade all the way up through going into college, and then there's a separate division for those who are called to full-time ministry. Some of the best pastors and youth pastors across the state are coming in and training them at each level. And having been in Super Summer a while, I've had a chance to see some of the long-term fruit. We've got missionaries in other countries now. We've got missionaries and pastors serving. We've got people who are representing Christ in the marketplace now that have come through Super Summer. And so I want to encourage you, God is doing some amazing things. We've had two record years in a row. We have 450 people involved. But when I look at the 700-plus churches in the state of Ohio, I think we've got about 40 right now that are involved in Super Summer. And so I would love to talk to you about that. I know that our church has the blessing of being able to have a full-time youth pastor. Some churches have a couple, but the majority of the churches across the state, they're just not in that position. And it's youth ministry is being done with volunteers. And so if that's where you're at, maybe you have a desire to reach the next generation, you don't have the budget or the staff to do so, please come and talk to us so that we can get you networked with those that are doing that. And so once again, I just want to encourage you, please talk to me if there's any way that we can help, and we are better together. Thanks.
Thank the Lord. Grateful for what God is doing in our next generation. You know, people talk bad about the next generation. I want you to know God is moving among the next generation. He is doing a great work, and we need to be careful to not say so much negativity about the next generation. If you look in our churches, there are incredible young men and young women who God is calling out and calling up. And so let's call them out and let's focus on them as well. The last person I'm going to bring up is Reggie Hayes. I don't know if Reggie's in the house anywhere or not. He's going to come up, take 2 minutes, and share with you about a powerful inner city ministry that your cooperative program dollars are going toward called Camp UCAN.
Good day, everyone. Along my several tasks in the State Convention of Baptists, one of my passions is Camp UCAN. And we started that a little bit over 5 years ago. And our goal each year was to bring in 100 young urban boys, black, white, Asian, from all over Ohio, of the major metropolitan cities. And each year we bring those young fellas to a place that we designate, it's been Heartland Conference Center. This year, we brought in 85 young boys between the ages of 9 and 17, mostly from single female parented households, mostly unchurched and unsaved. All of them were below the national poverty level, so they don't have the monies to even come to something like this. We also had 22 godly mentors that volunteered their time for the week from all over the state to come in and love on these fellas. That's the big importance here, is to these fellas don't have anybody that they can call father. And so we have men that come in and they mentor these gentlemen and love on them and hug them and let them know what it looks like to have a godly father. We give them 3 meals a day and Christ-centered discussion by former athletes in the NFL and NBA and others from local communities to come in and talk about the love of Jesus Christ. We let them have fun fishing and playing basketball and swimming and doing games like tug of war and great music, and some of them even go hiking. I want to just say that the first day that they get there, because most of them are from the concrete jungle, you would be amazed to see just how afraid they are that first 4 or 5 hours, because they're in a place where there are no ambulances. There is no yelling, there is no gunshots. All they hear is the sound of crickets. And they're really looking around saying, what have you brought me to? But after they get engaged and the mentors start to love on them, they start to warm up and they start to loosen up and they start to really show what they're missing in life. The things that they want so desperately, which mostly is a father, someone that they know loves them. And they want to hear the truth. They want to know what this Jesus is all about. After all, they're in a place where they hear everything else, in most places, but the name of Jesus. And this year, we were excited when we found out that of the 85 young fellas that came to Camp UCAN, 45 of those young fellows between the ages of 9 and 17, by the time we left that camp, gave their lives to Jesus Christ. Isn't that exciting? It's in our uncertain times where every evil is trying to take our youth, especially our males, away from the communities, that we as Southern Baptists must evangelize the lost with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Here's how good Camp UCAN has been in the last 5 years. I'm working right now, I'm chaplain with a local high school football team in the urban communities. These young fellas didn't win a game at all this past year. These young fellows will leave the game in the middle of the game and they'll go to the locker room and you won't see them anymore. These young fellows won't come to practice partly during the week because they're hungry and have other needs. And right now we're in discussion that those 30 young fellows at this particular high school in the urban communities of Columbus will be a part of Camp UCAN and will hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Isn't that phenomenal? Our goal is to eventually get up to 150 young men from Cleveland and Columbus and Dayton and Cincinnati and Toledo and Youngstown and Akron to come to this camp where we'll have godly men to really do the job that they don't have in their lives. When we're recruiting and thinking about the young fellas, one of the scriptures that I think about every day is James 1:27, which says, "Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world." These boys are alive and they're kicking. But the fact of the matter is because many of them don't have dads. And the ones that do have dads, their dads are absent. And according to this scripture, they're orphans. And it's our responsibility, is folk like you and me, it's our responsibility to help these young fellas. Do you know that out of this group, out of these groups every year, that we can have the next Billy Graham, we can have the next great leader in our culture, we can have the next nice, great church, and it's our responsibility to help that happen. So I'm looking to you all to help us. This is a completely free endeavor where none of these boys have to pay a dollar to come to camp. So I'm asking you that you would go to SCBO/CampUCAN and that you would help us along the way so that we might get to that 150 boys so that our future, as long as the Lord tarries, will be increasing with people who hear the gospel and are saved and will be able to replicate, as Dr. Westbrook says, will be able to replicate in the world that we live in. Amen? Amen. God bless you.
I just want you to hear straight from them what God is doing in our midst. And so through planting and replanting and through Super Summer Next Gen Ministry in our inner city urban core, where I'm just grateful for what the Lord is doing. You look at this, Send, Ohio, 23 new churches, 15 new plants this year, five replants, three churches came, so we want to be a part of the Southern Baptist Convention and the SCBO. Revitalize Ohio, churches in 10 of our 15 associations have engaged with the revitalization process. Super Summer, 27 kids came to Super Summer thinking they were saved, realized they were not saved, and began a relationship with Jesus Christ. 30 followed in believer's baptism, 37 called into full-time ministry, and 76 students said they believe God's called them into full-time missions. That's our next generation, and that is what God is doing. And in Camp UCAN, you just heard 45 young men pray to receive Christ. Thank the Lord for His activity, His faithfulness, and His goodness here in the State Convention of Baptists in Ohio. Number four, be futuristic. Verse 5. Joshua says here, purify yourselves for tomorrow the Lord is going to do a great thing. Are you believing God for tomorrow? Are you believing God in 2024 for Him to do a great work? When I was a pastor, I used to tell my staff, Jason McDonald's in this room, he knows this. We don't just go to a staff retreat and say, hey, let's wipe the calendar clean from last year and just repeat it all over again the next year. We need to bring our calendars and our checkbooks of our churches and our lives and say, God, it's a new day. It's a new slate. What do you want for our church, for our ministry? If you're a student pastor, don't just repeat last year and put the same things on. Well, if God wants you to do that, then great. But make sure you're hearing from heaven. Be futuristic of what God can do and what He will do in your life and ministry. We are thankful, but we're also trusting. I want to say thank you. That's part of the joy I have is traveling the state and preaching, is telling our churches thank you. That was only a heart of the Apostle Paul. Pastors will often say, Jeremy, you can do more in 2 minutes than I can do in 2 sermons. Just saying thank you and just sharing the vision of what God is doing for the cooperative program goes so far. If I can come serve you in any way in 2024, I'm already booking Sundays with churches, let me know. I'll come and I'll tell your church thank you for their faithfulness to the cooperative program. Thinking about the future, I want to share with you that God is blessing. Last year, we finished at $4.4 million in cooperative program giving. Through the first 10 months of this year, I'm happy to share with you that we are way ahead of last year by over $100,000 to giving to the cooperative program. I am incredibly grateful for what He is doing. You can clap. That's a good thing to do. If giving remains steady for the remainder of this year, unless you walk out and just decide not to give, which I hope you don't, if you continue to give, we're on pace to finish between $4.5 and $4.6 million, which is substantially ahead of last year. Nationally, CP giving is down. Lottie Moon is down nationally. But here in the Buckeye State, giving is up. And I'm so grateful for your faithfulness. Thank you for all of you who sacrificially give. I've been a pastor in this state. I know exactly what it means to give to the cooperative program. I had the same deacons and I had the same finance people in my church say to me, why in the world are we spending this much money? What is this thing called CP? And we would tell them what it was, and they would say, let's keep the checks going, right? And not just let's keep the checks, how can we give more? Listen, we are better together. We are stronger together. The cooperative program is critical. Paul Chitwood, the president of the IMB, recently said, the CP has become essential for the work of the International Mission Board. He said, virtually every penny of the support for our IMB stateside team members is provided by the cooperative program. But we don't even use half of the IMB CP dollars in the U.S., as 60% of those dollars go to support your overseas missionaries and their work. Thank you, Southern Baptist, for the nearly $100 million that came through CP to support the International Mission Board this year. The truth is, Lottie Moon is awesome, but that's not enough to sustain our missionaries. It's also the cooperative program. The International Mission Board doesn't just rely upon Lottie to operate. We have to have the cooperative program as well. So I want to say thank you. There's 41 state conventions in the SBC. Only 6 of us, to my knowledge, are at 50-50 or greater. And here's what that means. For every dollar you send to the state convention through the cooperative program, 50 cents leaves and 50 cents stays. Ohio and Florida are 2 of the 6. We want to be pace setters and lead the way in cooperative program giving. Nationally, it's down almost $8 million over the previous year, but thank the Lord, we're up in Ohio. And I want you to know that we're operating in the black. So effective ministry is being done, and we are operating in the black. I want to share with you some budget highlights as I move with pace through these next 2 slides. By the way, I was a pastor here and a president for almost 10 years. I have never seen us put out the budget this early like we did this year. Amen? So almost 2 weeks early, we put out the budget for all of your viewing pleasure. All right? So you went through it line by line. The Lord bless you. And so I want to share with you just a couple of highlights about this budget. Number one, if we approve this budget, Cedarville scholarships will be in this budget. In the 70-year history, I can't recall a budget where Cedarville University was intentionally placed in our budget. As I travel the state and preach and I hear pastors say, I wish I could send my student and my kid to Cedarville, but I just can't afford it. I went to Dr. White and said, man, you know, if we'll do this, why don't you talk to your trustees and they want to help us with this as well. We want to have scholarship grants to help pastors' kids go to Cedarville. We can't make a huge dent, but we can at least buy them a book and a lunch. You know, we can do something for them. So we want to have scholarships for students, for pastors' kids to go to Cedarville University. So it's going to start with senior pastors, and we'll see if we have any money left over. But that's going to be, that it doesn't replace the old scholarship line. That's in there as well. This is on top of the old scholarship line. We increased the old scholarship line, and we've added Cedarville University into it as well. Mission Dignity will be in this budget. It's a 13th check. We're partnering with Guidestone to help offer those who are suffering, who are living in poverty level. Why should we have money in our reserves when we have servants of God in our state who are having to choose between buying their medicine or paying their utility bill? That should not be so. And so we're going to partner with Mission Dignity to offer a 13th check to those who qualify, who are living at poverty level. They've served the Lord, and they're a widow, and they're alone, and they need help financially. Ohio Baptist, we're going to be there for them. If you approve this budget, we will add a 13th check to Mission Dignity recipients in this budget. Worship 424, as you've heard, we're going to increase that in January in our continued partnership with Cedarville University. We're bringing in Shane and Shane. We're hoping to continue to get more worship leaders, the next generation there, to worship 424. Super Summer will see a budget increase. Camp You Can will have a budget increase. Disaster Relief will have a budget increase. So next year, when John comes, he'll have 100 bears to shout out at you and throw from the stage. Church Revitalization is going to have an increase in the budget. Evangelism grants are going to have an increase in the budget. Support for our associations are going to be in the budget. Continue to support. We don't support salaries, we support strategies. Steve Renfro in the hallway said, Pastor Jeremy, are you going to send me that grant? I said, if you approve the budget, you'll get the grant. All right, so I'm waiting on your vote. So this is in the budget. Pastors' wives, my wife held an event 3 weeks ago, over 60 pastors and staff wives came to that event. We want to continue to usher in assistance to help our pastors' wives to network and encourage them. There's a 4% cost of living adjustment for the staff in this budget. Last year, 67% of our budget went to personnel. This year, it's 64%. We're seeing effective ministry. We're expanding our footprint across the state, and we're doing it by taking less and less from the personnel line and putting it back into the ministry of the kingdom of God. So God is at work. This is the budget that we have set before you. Fifth and last, we need to be fearless. We need to be fearless. Look what he says in verses 5 and 6. In the morning, Joshua said to the priest, lift up the Ark of the Covenant and lead the people across the river. And so they started out and they went ahead. And if you read the next several verses, you'll see the miraculous happen. As that Ark went, the people went. And all of a sudden, that dam happened just north. And all of a sudden, that water dammed up and that stopped. And all of a sudden, the people walked across on dry ground. We need to be fearless. We need to love the Lord Jesus more every single day and thank God for the past, but trust Him with the future. And we need to be men. Joshua says here to be courageous, to be men and women of conviction. And I'm asking you as a leader here in Ohio Baptist, Let's set the pace. Let's lead the way. Let's give and let's serve and let's share and let's go across the street and let's go around the world to people who don't yet know Jesus Christ. And let's be an example to our convention. Let's be a model to the SBC. Let's set the pace in who we are and what we do, how we love one another and how we pray for one another and how we serve one another and how we give to one another's needs. Let us be fearless, knowing that God's in charge. And we can go to bed at night knowing that God's awake and we don't both have to be up. Let's sleep sovereignly. Let's not just preach it, let's live it. Let's model it. Let's show it. Over 365 references. Some say 366 references to not fear the Lord. One for every day, including leap year. We must remember that our identity is not found in the church or the convention, but in Christ alone. God help you if your identity is in your church. You're going to be a basket case. Christ alone saves. Christ alone calls. He is our identity, not any position that we may hold. We must remember and pray for our Ohio missionaries that are on the field. Last night I got an email from Chris Martin from the International Mission Board. We have 70 missionaries overseas that claim Ohio Baptist as home. Isn't that wonderful? Seven this year were newly commissioned. They're counting on us to pray and to give and to serve and to go. We must follow the path that God has for us. Just like the Lord told Joshua, I'm taking down a new path you've never been. Let's hear from heaven. This isn't my convention, and it's not yours either. Who does it belong to? The Lord. It's His convention, they're His resources, and you and I are just only stewards. And our job is to leave it better than we found it. We're grateful for His activity here in the state.